And so tonight's message, exercising our faith. Exercising our faith. And it kind of got me thinking, you know, generally speaking, as human beings, okay, as people, you know, we all have the same types of muscles, okay? We all have biceps, triceps, right? Leg muscles, back muscles. I mean, but the difference between, I think, of myself and, you know, perhaps a professional athlete, well, they work out. I don't. I eat, and they work out. And so, of course, a professional athlete, much stronger, much faster, well-toned. They have better endurance, perseverance, and excel in running their race. I would just tire out and just tap out right away. Now, we both have the quote-unquote same type of muscles. I mean, they have biceps. I have biceps, right? But they spend hours training and honing their bodies to peak physical performance. Now, of course, in fact, not even just comparing me or ourselves to someone else, even just ourselves with ourselves, in the sense that, you know, myself versus my workout self, right? Maybe if I was able to put 4 hours a day into working out, how would that version of me be like? Wow, I like that version. I'm just saying. Okay, so you start thinking about that, big difference, right? And so, of course, it's a no-brainer. And the idea is, if we want to get stronger, quicker, faster, more well-toned, healthier, you got to work out, got to exercise. And that's a no-brainer. If we see an athlete in peak performance, we all know, like, boy, he probably watches his diet and spends hours training. I mean, you know, we know that no one is naturally, automatically like that. Okay, you got to work out to be like that. Now, on the flip side, in the spiritual context, we see a faithful Christian, one who has faithfully run their race in spite of all the persecutions, all the hardship, all the heartache, one who has lots of spiritual endurance, one who has spiritual strength to bear their infirmities. It should also be a no-brainer. It's because of their exercise in their faith, not bodily exercise, that profiteth little. It only helps in this life, but spiritual exercise. And so exercising their faith. And so the idea is, may we exercise our faith to strengthen ourselves spiritually. Now, again, same context as we would think physical exercise, but it certainly applies to the to our faith and to our spiritual side. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And this, of course, is the very popular verse to work out our salvation. And so let us work out, okay? And so what a challenge. And so let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Again, this is not talking about you got to work to be saved. Of course, we know that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by his finished work, Jesus' finished work on Calvary's cross, his sacrifice, his resurrection. We believe in him. He saves us. So we are not saved by works, but we grow our faith certainly by works, which is in obedience to God's word. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And then verse 12, we'll start there, Philippians chapter 2, and then verse 12, the word of God says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in thy house. We thank you, Lord, for this great, thy great salvation that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to work it out. We have it on the inside. Let us work it out so it shows on the outside. Let us run this race in obedience. Lord, let us exercise our faith and exercise ourselves onto godliness, Lord, and help us to grow. And let us not just sit on the, you know, spiritual couch, so to speak, and just twiddle my thumbs. Let us be busy laboring in your harvest. Let us labor for you, but at the same time grow spiritually in our walk with you. And so bless now the time, the preaching of thy word. Father, encourage your saints. Lord, bless and prime our hearts for the prayer time to come. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, when we're saved, when we get saved, we receive God's salvation. So many times in the Psalms, you know, David says, you know, he thanks the Lord for his salvation. Now, David has it. It's from God, but God has given it to David, to us. And so we have God's salvation. His salvation by faith in Christ becomes our salvation. And so now that we have it, his salvation is ours. What do we do? What does God want us to do? Work it out. Get it out. We have it on the inside, and so we work it so it comes out. And so faith, of course, we can only receive salvation by God's grace through faith. And salvation is by faith. And now that we are saved, we need to exercise that salvation by exercising our faith. You know, grow it, mature it, strengthen it, use it. Don't just be content having faith, but challenge ourselves to exercise that faith. You know, and if I want to think of, you know, I'm not the gym kind of guy. I think the only time I go to a gym is when I follow my wife there. Okay, I'm not a gym person. You know, but if I were to think about faith as a workout, don't just be content having muscles. We're all born with muscles. We all have muscles. You know, we all have biceps. We all have triceps. We have it, but don't be content just having it. Work it out. The idea to strengthen it, okay? And so, yes, we are saved. Obviously, we can't be saved without faith. And so we have salvation. We have faith. But exercise that faith. Grow that faith. Strengthen that faith. And it all starts with obedience. Exercising our faith is all about obedience. It's not just a, hey, I think I should go work out in a physical sense. God commands us to exercise our faith. Again, if you look at the context of verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, again, they were obeying, and salvation starts with obeying. God commands that all repent and trust Christ as Savior. God wants us to get saved. And so he commends his love to us, but he also commands us to be saved through Jesus Christ. And so once we are saved, that's a commandment. And so we obey to get saved. Guess what? Once we obey to get saved, then we need to obey to work out our salvation. And if you show me, you know, show me a baby Christian who's weak in faith, you know, I'll show you a Christian who doesn't obey very much, you know, and that's why the Word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, this is in Romans 10:17, and fear and hearing by the Word of God. And not just hearing whatever, hearing means heeding. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And when the Bible talks about hearing, the Bible is not just talking about audibly listening to what is spoken. It always has a spiritual and obedience application. We hear it, meaning we hear with our heart, and so we heed it, and then we obey. Okay, so hearing is heeding, which is obeying. And so true faith is not just believing in quotes intellectually in what God says, but true faith, of course, is acting upon God's word. And so, for example, let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, Word of God, Paul here speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, who's going to kind of take over. But let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go to verse 6. And what a challenge. 1 Timothy 4, 6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. By the way, so many applicable examples to our spiritual growth when you look at physical, you know, wellness and working out. And what do they say? If I want to be healthy physically, it always boils down to those two, diet, exercise, right? Diet, exercise, diet, exercise. Well, of course, in the spiritual sense, our spiritual diet has to be what? The Word of God. And exercising is what? Our faith, right? And so it's such a no-brainer in the physical sense. Why are we taken aback in the spiritual sense? It's the same connotation. Everyone gets it in the physical sense, but few Christians understand this in the spiritual sense. Okay, so Paul, God is telling Timothy, nourished up in the Word of God, of course, amen, in the Word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He already has it, just learn it. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. And so this would be the junk food, right? And so don't just have a good spiritual diet, but then I'm cheating, I'm sabotaging myself, I'm eating junk food on the side. That's not healthy, right? And exercise, there it is, thyself rather unto godliness. And so what a thought. I mean, I think of some guy just working out in the gym, just pumping iron, like, wow, what a tough guy. Boy, I want that to be my faith, right? I want my faith to be what do they call it? You can up your weight class, right? And so I want to bench more with my faith. And so for bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit, but it's very, very minute, because it's only in this lifetime compared to eternity, which is not even a vapor, right? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. I mean, it also benefits now, but and of that which is to come. It pays eternal dividends. And think of the rewards that we get in glory when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Those crowns, what a blessing to cast them back at my Savior's feet. But even the you know, we will reign with Christ. Our faithfulness now determines our forever rewards. I mean, that when we let that sink in, by God's grace, when we are in glory, and when the Lord has given us, you know, what He sees fit, I know I'll be kicking myself that I didn't work out myself spiritually more, you know, because then I could have done more for the Lord. And so this is what a challenge. And so exercise ourselves more unto godliness, you know. And I know some, you know, it takes dedication, it takes commitment, and some folks can be so committed, and I applaud that, to physical routines and physical exercise, and that's very commendable. May we have such commitment to the spiritual godliness that we need to exercise, right? And so the thought is, well, okay, how do I exercise myself unto godliness? Okay, how does that equate? I mean, in the physical sense, okay, I can walk 10 miles every day. I can do that. But how do I do that spiritually? How do I exercise myself unto godliness? Well, how do we do that? Well, no surprise, God tells us. So let's go to 2 Peter. Go with me to 2 Peter. Again, this is we did this through Sunday school, but let's go back to chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and notice this, verse 5. And so this speaks about how we add to our faith. And this is the same kind of a context as exercising ourselves onto godliness. This is the same thrust that Paul is telling the Philippians in a main verse to work out our salvation. Okay, so when we get saved, we're saved under where? Inside. We're saved on the inside. And so, you know, outwardly, if you just look at someone, you can't tell if they're Christian or not. I mean, if someone just standing there, is he saved? Well, I don't know. Now, by the fruits, you would know them. But the fruits are observable. So you see what they do, how they live. That's how you can tell if someone is likely saved or not. But salvation is on the inside. It's not seen in that sense. Okay, so it starts that way. So we have our salvation from God. Philippians 2:12, work it out, right? So, you know, flex it, pump it out. Okay, so what does it happen? So look at verse 5, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. This is holy living. Virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And so we are doing what the knowledge tells us to do with a holy heart. And to temperance, patience, that's perseverance, so we don't just quit halfway. And so notice the progression. Verse 5, 6, and 7, it speaks about being saved on the inside. But as you add to your faith, you are working yourself, you're working out your salvation, you're bringing it to the outside, and you are exercising yourself unto godliness, okay? And the idea is it starts invisible on the inside. Because you're saved on the inside, but no one knows. Well, you know, God knows, but no one else does. But as you add to your faith and you mature in your faith, as you strengthen your faith, guess what? It progresses to the outside where it is seen. Okay, so 5, 6, and 7, you can see the progression from invisible to observable, right? And to knowledge, temperance. So you, each of these attributes are so wonderful. Okay, they're all needful. They all play on each other. Knowledge is knowing what we should do. Temperance is doing it. And so easy to, I know I should pray. I got the knowledge, but I don't have the temperance. I don't actually pray. So don't do that. You add to your knowledge of knowing to pray by actually praying. And so your temperance, your Holy Spirit control, your self-control, meaning you say no to the flesh. You lead with your spirit. And then while you're praying, you don't quit praying. You add patience. That's the perseverance. So you're on the right track. And then you stay on the right track. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And then it caps it off. And to brotherly kindness, what? Charity. Charity, of course, is love in action. And so faith, it starts off in verse 5, add to your faith virtue. You can't see that, but you can see charity, right? We can see Jesus' charity when he died for us on the cross. Okay, you can see charity. It's physical, it's observable, and it's motivated by the faith on the inside. So that is how we exercise ourselves onto godliness. This is what God wants us to do. And God says, prove me this way, like he tells the Israelites in Malachi 3:10. Don't have to turn there. But again, God says, prove me, gift me, bring in the tithes like he commanded the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 28. When God says, if you obey, I'll bless. If you don't, I'll punish. And God says, come on, do it. So you give. So God wants to be able to prove to them that he is faithful. And so that is wonderful. Exercising our faith is all about obedience. God commands it. He wants us to. And when we do it in faith, trusting him, God will strengthen our faith. That's point number one. Exercising our faith is all about obedience. Number two, exercising our faith grows our confidence in God. Exercising our faith grows our confidence in God. So what does that mean? Well, if we've been working out for a while, for example, physically, okay, and say we know that we can do 10 chin-ups, okay, say we know we can do 10 chin-ups. Now, if a particular circumstance requires me to do 8, even before I take to the bar, the chin-up bar, I know I got it because I know I can do it because I've done it before. Another example, if I can bench, just randomly speaking here, if we know we can bench, say, 135 pounds, which is pretty average. I had to Google it, so it's pretty average. If I know I can bench 135 pounds, and then the particular situation I'm in requires me to bench 100 pounds, we know that we're good. We got this. We're not afraid. We know that we've done this before. I could do it. If we know that we can run an 8-minute mile, now some of you are going, oh, that's bad. Okay, I'm just saying. If we know that we can run an 8-minute mile, and the situation that we happen to be in requires us to run a 10-minute mile, we know that we're okay. We're good. And the idea here is this. Paul says in our main verse, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And so the idea is the Philippians had been obeying. The Philippians had been exercising their faith while Paul was there hand-holding them. But if the Philippians can continue to exercise their faith while Paul is not there, take off the training wheels, then Paul knows they can face anything. And so here's the spiritual application. If we have exercised our faith and trusted in God to take care of us in some dire circumstance, and then we definitely know God will take care of us in lesser circumstances. Again, but we only know this when we are exercising our faith. So taking the step out to trust God in obedience. When we exercise our faith, it will be observable. Faith, again, without works is dead. That's what James, and that it goes hand in hand with that. So you can't see faith physically, but you can physically see the results of faith, which is the works. And so when we exercise our faith, you stretch it, you strengthen it, and the more you exercise your faith, the stronger it gets. And just like I know if I physically work out, this is my limit. If I encounter a circumstance that calls less than that, I'm not worried. I'm not panicking. I'm assured. And so if we had exercised our faith and trusted God in some circumstance, the next time a less dire circumstance comes by, we're not going to be rattled. We're like, oh, God's got this. Because you're there, you're not. But if you haven't exercised, if I've never done one chin up, and all of a sudden I'm asked to do 5, I'm like, I don't know if I can. I never tried. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You've never there's no assurance, there's no confidence. And so if we've never trusted God by faith and obedience, boy, we fall victim to any circumstance. And so I think of when my dad was dying. By God's grace, he got me there, trusting in the Lord, if it be his will, that the Lord will let me spend time with my dad right before he passed, and God did it. It was completely by God's grace, I get that. Because how can someone 10,000 miles away, what are the chances that they can be there when their parent is about to pass at that exact moment? But God saw fit to allow that. All things, of course, are possible with God. I had no doubt that God orchestrated this most miraculous divine appointment. And if God can set that up, I know that God can set anything up. That was an exercise of faith in my part. Now, again, it's God's will, okay? Because if it's not God's will, then it's not going to happen. But if it's God's will, it can happen if I have faith, if I believe. Speaking to a preacher friend of mine, and He shares this testimony. You know, he moved from out of state to Wisconsin. In fact, from New Hampshire. So he was still has the accent. But anyway, he moved here years ago. He only had $70 in his pocket. I did not know this. Now, he didn't know how things would play out, but he knew that God wanted him to serve in Wisconsin. Guess what? God provided. And one time, as they were kind of get settling here in Wisconsin, they needed a water heater. Well, their plumber wanted to sell them a unit, but that was too expensive. So he said, well, I think I'll just go to Menards and get one for cheap. And the plumber said, well, if you want to be cheap, I want to be cheap, okay. But he said, if you want to be cheap, you can have this used water heater, although this used water heater does have a pinhole leak. But if you want it, I'll just give it to you. Well, my preacher friend said, sure, thank you, Lord. Guess what? That water heater did not leak for 10 years. Worked out fine. God used that to strengthen his faith. It was an exercise of faith. And so he saw God provide then. Guess what? Fast forward. Sometime later, they were running low on finances, and all they had left was enough for one last meal with their family. But he told his kids, you know what? I said, girls, it's okay. God will provide. And that very same day, they got a delivery of 3 boxes of food from his brother. Who said, I don't know, God just laid you on my heart. And of course, you take, you know, mail time, takes time for you to get there. And so the brother had sent it, I don't know, previous week or whatever. But the timing worked out. They got it right as they needed food. Never missed a meal. Praise the Lord. And what a blessing. If we understand, if we exercise our faith in obedience to God, and we see God provide here, when other circumstances hit, we know we got this. Exercising our faith absolutely grows our confidence in God. We have to exercise our faith. Don't just be content having faith. Exercise it, right? Work it out, work it out, work it out. And then 3, no one can exercise your faith but you, right? No one can exercise your faith but you. Let's go back to Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. Other people can encourage us. They can cheer us on. You know, you can get, you know, maybe the preacher, maybe the pastor is the, I don't know, your I think of not trainer, you know, like get or your drill sergeant or someone, you know, they can get in your face. I mean, they can say, you got this, you got this. But at the end of the day, it's still you. You're doing it for yourself. No one else can do it for you but you. Others can encourage you, others can discourage you, but it's up to you. Look at verse 12. And Paul starts off by talking to the collective, to the group, the church. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye, meaning ye all, this is plural, have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. So each of you work it out on your own. Okay, don't just say, well, you know, brother so-and-so is working out real hard in his salvation. I think I'm good. No, we all need to work it out with fear and trembling. That this is Sunday's message, the fear of God. Again, it's fear is not reverence, but it leads to reverence. But this is a godly fear to understand that this is what God has commanded us to do. So make sure we do it right. Why? Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you. This is a huge kind of aha. It's his salvation that he gives to us. When I work it out, it's actually God working in me and through me and in you and through you. So we want to do it right, right? We don't want to do God wrong. And when we don't work out our salvation, when we don't exercise ourselves unto godliness, we are in rebellion against God. I mean, this is a big deal, right? So for it is God which worketh in you both to will, so that will to do that, when I'm sitting there on that spiritual couch, you know, flipping the spiritual channels. I don't know. I'm just saying, when I'm just sitting there kind of stuck, okay, that's my flesh talking. When I feel that still small voice saying, I got to get up and exercise myself rather unto godliness, that is the Holy Spirit of God speaking. The Spirit of God speaking to my heart, that will, that desire, and the capacity to do it. It's all God. And to do of his good pleasure. And then we think of, well, the application, God, we are, you know, we're saved, we are spiritual soldiers for the Lord, right? And so we're not soldiers, I mean, but we are soldiers in the spiritual sense. Of course, we want to be trained up, we want to be exercised, right? We don't want to be a wimpy soldier, you know, and you put on the helmet, you put on the armor like, oh, I'm just so tired, I'm out of breath. You know, no, I mean, we got to, again, spiritual context, but again, taking from the physical aspect that we all can relate with, right? And so we want to build our spiritual strength and build our faith and to bench press more with our faith. I mean, it's a huge thing, and no one can do that but you for yourself, me for myself. And so it requires dedication, requires discipline, being sold out for the Lord, a healthy spiritual life, going back to that diet and exercise. Of course, tonight we're emphasizing exercise. But a diet, of course, is the Word of God. Make sure we have it, and then make sure we heed it. And so it's a commandment. It comes by, it's always been a matter of obedience. And then the more we exercise our faith, it grows our confidence in God. And so what a blessing. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord, to be in thy house, that you've given us the instructions and the will, the capacity, the ability to obey you. And so, Father, help me not to squander it. Help all of us to keep working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, to exercise ourselves unto godliness, Lord, to grow, to be stronger spiritually, Lord. And, Lord, I want to run this race and not faint. That only comes when I'm, you know, when I'm nourished up in your word and when I've exercised myself and I've been training, Lord. And so help us to do that in a spiritual sense. We thank you for this night. Bless the prayer time to come. May your will be done, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood and his resurrection. And bless the time to come, the prayer time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. A couple of